Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalm, Psalm 40. We'll read verses 1 through 5 together. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 5. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 5. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And yet put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. And let's finish on verse 5 together. Ready? Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here. Thank you for your presence. Lord, you brought literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people on this property today. Each and every person represents another need. The Holy Spirit of God, do what only you can do. Meet each and every one of those needs. Speak through our preacher today, filling with your power, please. Fill us with your power as we listen. May we leave a whole lot more like you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I need to ask you a personal question this morning. If you came to be part of the crowd, we will not accomplish the purpose for which this service was created. If you came to meet with God as an individual, then we're going to get somewhere this morning. If you want to hide behind the crowd, then you're not going to get what you need. And if you're popping gum, you need to swallow it. Why are you alive? Why are you alive? Why did God create you? I believe there are many people who are very aimless, not knowing why they're alive, not knowing why God created them. If you would take this sermon personally, this sermon could be the start of the explanation as to why you even exist. You know that whether or not you know it, you're here because of the mercy of God. The title of my sermon today will not be easy to forget because of the content of the sermon. I've entitled today's sermon, God Spared You to Use You. God Spared You to Use You. Earlier, we together, with Brother Bush's help, read from Psalm chapter 40. In Psalm chapter 40, verse 2, it says this, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Here the psalmist says, I was in a horrible pit. Maybe that was a pit of darkness, or a pit of loneliness, or hopelessness, or confusion. A pit of aimlessness, not knowing what is on the horizon, not knowing what life is really all about. He says here, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. So here's somebody stuck in a pit, and that pit is its sides or walls or the base or bottom of it made of clay. Maybe that is to picture dirty or filthy. And whether we want to admit to it or not, we have the tendency in the human race to become awful dirty and filthy and sinful. But that clay, you see, clay's got some moisture in it, and it's slick, and your footing is not sure. The psalmist said, God found me. I was in a pit of despair and hopelessness. I was confused about what life was really all about. I was trying to climb, and the clay was miry. It was filthy and slippery, and He put my feet upon a rock. God came along and said, you know what, I can stabilize you. I can balance your life. I can give you a purpose for life. I can help you figure out the big question, why am I here? Then the psalmist said, not only did he put my feet upon a rock, but he established my goings. What does that mean? He gave me direction. He gave me something for which I could live. He gave me a purpose. I wasn't just eating and drinking and working and spending. I mean, I was investing my life in something that was worthwhile. He gave me a reason for my life. He says, and he hath put a new song in my heart. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Verse number 3 says, he put a new song in my heart. You listen to me. God, when he saves you, he's apt to put a new song in your heart. He's going to put new music in your life. You're going to sing new music and play new music and listen to new music because he's got something new he has put down inside you. It says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth. It says, even praise unto our God. He here says, I was in this pit. My life, I couldn't figure it out. It was dark. It was lonely. When I got to examining what life was really all about, I couldn't figure it out. I had no purpose. But he came along, and he established my goings. He helped me to get on this rock, and now I have some direction. My life has changed, you can tell, even in my music. And now, I'm praising God because he has salvaged me. I know he saved me. I know he has a purpose for me. Then it says here in verse number 3, it says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, many shall see it. God wants people to see the changes that take place in you and I. And here it says he wants many people to see the changes that have taken place. It's not just an inside change because we can't see on the inside. People say, well, you got God, you got him on the inside. Yes, you do, but what's on the inside is so powerful, it comes out. And he says, I want people to see it. We can't see in your heart. And God said, let them see it on the outside, and God wants to change you. Remember, he was in a pit. He was aimless, directionless, and it was slippery. But God comes along, he says, I'm going to set you on a rock. I'm going to give you a purpose and establish your going. I'm going to put a new song in your heart, and I'm going to help you to praise God. And many people are going to see what's happening in your life. He goes on to say here, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it, and fear. Many are going to see what God's doing in your life as a Christian, and they're going to fear. You know something? And when we talk about fear here, we're talking about people are going to begin to respect God. There are a lot of people who look at the church and they mock the church. Why? Because they've not seen Christians with lives changed. They've not seen Christians where God has established their going. And they've seen all the phony religion of the world and they think, it's a big hodgepodge. Money grabbers. It's nothing but a crutch. Now let me tell you something. It indeed is a crutch. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. But let me say to you, our God is a powerful God. And some, they mock the church. Here the Bible says, when God begins to do this process in your life, everybody's going to see it and they're going to fear God because of it. Listen, your friends will see the change God is making in your life. And they're going to respect and admire and want God because of it. Your family's going to see the changes in your life. They're going to fear God because of your testimony. Your godliness will point them to godliness because for the first time, they're seeing someone that's truly come in contact with the Holy God. And anybody that comes in contact with the Holy God walks away different. And the Bible says, and finally, and shall trust in the Lord. It's saying here, there are actually going to be people that are going to trust in the Lord because of the change that God's made in you and I. Not just a salvation change on the inside, but it comes out on the outside as well. I think there will be people saved because of your testimony. They will trust Him because they've seen that you have trusted Him and the change that's come in your life. They'll get into church. Why? Because you changed and He established your going. And they say, where in the world did you learn to be a successful dad like that? Where in the world did you learn to have a happy marriage? Where in the world did you learn to handle your emotions like that? Where in the world did you learn that kind of a success? And you're going to say, I was down at the church house and I met Jesus Christ and something happened to me. Come and see. And they're going to say, I want to see that. I want to see that. I'd like to be a part of that. Oh, but wait a minute. This all started out that somebody was in a pit. They were in a pit, down in a hole, captive. I believe we could say to David the psalmist, who just gave us this little passage of scripture that we just verse by verse and word by word looked at, we could say to David the psalmist, hey, David, God spared you out of that pit to use you. To use you. To everyone in this building, those of you that are saved, those of you that are born again, let me tell you something. God spared you to use you. God spared you because He has a plan for you. God spared you for a reason. God spared you so you could fulfill a purpose. God spared you for something that's bigger than you. God spared you, but more so for Himself than for you. God spared you to become a part of His workforce. Your spared life is not really as much about you as it is about Him. Thank God, God spares us and He helps our lives so we're not miserable. But let me tell you something. It's really not just so your life is not miserable. God has something that He wants you to do with your life. God spared you so you could help to spare others. You know, the God of this universe has a spiritual purpose for your life. I'm going to use this microphone, Brother Brad. The God of this universe has a spiritual purpose for your life. Everybody sitting in this section right over here, and wake up. Wake up while I preach. Every person sitting in this section right here, let me tell you something. God didn't just put you on this earth to walk around and suck in His air and enjoy the birds and eat tomatoes. He has a reason for your life. Those of you in these sections, God has a purpose for your life. You're sitting right here. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life. In the balcony, God has a purpose for your life. Choir, God has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for your life. That's really what your life is all about. Why are we so self-centered and stingy? You think your life is all about you. Well, I am sorry, it is not. God has a purpose for your life. God has something for you. You say, well, I'm a visitor here today. That has nothing to do with it. The same God that has a purpose for my life has a purpose for your life, whether you're a visitor or not. God has a purpose for your life. You are not just to survive this world. You are to fulfill the purpose for which you were created. You're to do your part. Not just to survive in this life, but you're to do your part to save this world. And to make a difference for God, spiritually. I'm not talking about you build a park so some kids could play in a park. I'm talking about you built something, you did something for God to make a difference in eternity. God spared you to use you. Please, I want you to take this personally. I do not care who you are. This is to you as an individual. It's not to your husband. It's not to your wife. It's not to your kids. It's not just to the members of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. If you're here today, God brought you here for a purpose. Don't miss the purpose. You need to think. You need to let God get inside your heart, in your life, and in your mind. Every one of you. You say, oh, I've been in church a long time. You're not going to say anything today I've not heard. Yeah, you probably heard it before, but the question is, have you done anything about it? Oh, listen. God spared you to use you. Let me say, first of all, God spared your soul so He could use you to win other souls. We went to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. It says, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What had happened is, Jesus was speaking to the 11 disciples or apostles that were left. Judas was not there at the time. And He said to them, He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What a crowd of fellows He had around Him. Now, I believe God had spared those 11 men from dying and going to hell because He wanted to use those 11 7 men to evangelize the entire world. They were going to take off with a program called the Great Commission, and they were to go tell everybody about Jesus Christ so people could get born again and people could get saved. Now, let me tell you something. God spared those 11 so they could go out and get the world saved, but you need to know something. In Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, He gave the same commission to you and I as born-again Christians. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If you're here today and you're a born-again Christian, it is your responsibility to tell others about Jesus Christ. You're not going to hell, and God spared you to use you. He didn't spare you. He didn't save you when you were a 9-year-old boy to spend the rest of your life ignoring the rest of the world that's on their way to hell. He spared you to use you. Spared you to use you to do what? He spared your soul from hell. You ought to be helping Him spare other souls from dying and going to hell. You've heard me say this before, but it is worth saying again. Listen, why didn't God save you and then just take you right to heaven? Why didn't He save you and then just take you right to heaven? He left you behind for a reason. And there is no greater purpose for a Christian than helping someone else to become a Christian. There is no greater thing that we could do with our life than to influence somebody else for heaven. Oh, I know we could feed the hungry. We could help the sick, and I want us to do those things, and I'm for them. But I'll tell you something. You could feed the hungry and never tell them about Jesus. They could die and go to hell. But if you tell someone about Jesus Christ, they may starve in this life, but they're going to a place where they'll have bread and plenty one day when they die. The greatest thing you could do with your life is tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. I have a question for you. God spared you to use you. Now, what are you doing about it? There's a reason why you're not in hell today. God spared you to use you. Hey, why didn't you die in your sin? Do you realize how easy it would have been for any of us to die in our sin and go to hell? It's not an accident that this church is here. It's not an accident that you're born again. Yeah, let me throw this in here. Preachers listen to these CDs, and for a few that might be here in this auditorium, I want some of you to think about it. I know preachers that goof up their ministry, do something stupid, and they could have destroyed their ministry. Well, let me tell you something, buddy. If your ministry is not destroyed and you have a second chance, God spared you to use you. God spared you to use you. God spared you to use you. He picked you up out of a pit of despair. You were slipping and you were falling and you were going nowhere. You were confused about life. God reached down and saved your soul. He established your goings. He put a new song in your mouth. He began to show you how to praise God. And your friends ought to see it. And your family ought to see it. And everybody ought to see it. And they ought to respect God because what God's done in your life and in your heart. God spared your soul from going to hell because God wanted to use you. Secondly, God spared a crazy man to use him. Listen to me very carefully. To the man by the name of the maniac of Gadara. Let me read to you. The Bible says in Mark chapter 5, who had the dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder. Here's a man, he was a crazy man, he lived in the tombs. He howled at the moon. He was dirty. He was filthy. They tried to make him captive with chains and ropes, but he was so wild, you could not control him. Let me tell you what happened. God spared him. The Bible says in Mark chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Let me tell you what happened. This man was running wild. He was a crazy man, and everybody knew it. Jesus came in, and the maniac of Gadara meets Jesus Christ. And the Bible says the next thing you know, the maniac of Gadara is clothed. He's in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, listen to me, maniac. He said, you listen to me, crazy.
crazy man. You listen to me, you lunatic. I did not save you to clean you up so you could walk around saying, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. Look, I'm clean, I'm clean. He said, I saved you to use you. And this is what Jesus said to him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him, but saith unto him, go home and tell thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. He said, you go tell everybody what I did for you. You go let me know. I spared you to use you, maniac. I spared you to use you, crazy man. He went and he told all of his friends, and in verse number 20, the Bible says he published it in all of Decapolis. You know what? He went everywhere saying, God spared me. God saved me. I'm a new man. I'm changed. I'm something different. And the Bible says in verse number 20, everybody marveled. The maniac got born again and changed his life. And the whole city marveled and said, whoa, something going on out there at that church. Hey, 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 druggie. Hey, druggie. Your friends said you were nuts. When you get high, you were crazy. God saved you. God spared you. Why didn't you get a dirty needle and die? Why didn't you OD like some of your friends? Why aren't your brains blown away from the abuse of the drugs? I'll tell you why. God spared you to use you. God spared you to use you. Hey, drunk. You suck the booze down. You beat your wife. You trust your husband. You live like a whore. The drunk driving. How many times do you arrive at your destination after being boozed up and it's amazing you didn't kill somebody? How many times did you wake up and say, where have I been through the night? How many times did you wake up with vomit on yourself, realizing you had no idea where you'd been, who you'd been with, and what you'd done? God saved you, but when He saved you, He spared you. And when He spared you, He spared you to use you. You better stop and realize the reason you didn't kill somebody while you were drunk or high, the reason you're not in jail today, is God spared you to use you. That's why He spared you. Hey, you vicious bully, full of rage and hatred. How many people you've hurt? People's bodies because of your temper and rage. Everybody knew, don't mess with him, he's nuts. But God saved you. God spared you from somebody taking a bullet and putting it in the back of your head. Because there are people under the sound of my voice, anybody at any given time, some irate husband could have taken a gun and blown you away. He said, God spared me. Let me tell you why. God spared you to use you. God spared you to use you. Hey, gang member. Lying, cheating, stealing, hurting. God spared you to use you. Hey, those of you that are into weird things, will you say, Brother Owens, if you only knew my testimony, if you only knew the way I've lived, if you only knew how vile and wicked and nasty, oh, if you only knew how bad I was, I did weird things. Hey, let me remind you of something. God spared you, maniac. God spared you, crazy man. He spared you to use you. He didn't spare you for you. He spared you for Him. He spared you, and you've been living a life, and it's been a relatively successful life since He put you on that solid rock. But what are you doing for the one that spared you? He spared you to use you. Some of you had demon-like tendencies. People would say, you might be demon-possessed. You're so wicked. You're so vile. You're so mean. You're so self-centered and full of pride. God spared you. There are people in this building that would say, it's a miracle. I'm alive and in church today. And let me tell you something. You're right, crazy man. You're right, crazy woman. You're right, maniac. It's a miracle you're here today. God spared you to use you. God spared you from your immorality, so that He could use you to help others be pure. You take the story of a woman at a well. For all practical purposes, she was a modern day whore. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 15 through 18, For thou hast had five husbands. This is Jesus speaking to her. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. That thou sayest, thou truly, she says. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Jesus said, Lady, you sleep around, you've been dirty, you've been immoral, you've committed adultery. But Jesus said, I'll do something for you. I'll spare you. And she gets saved. God spares her. And you know what happened? She gets born again. And the Bible says in verse number 28, she went right into the city after getting saved. And she went into town and she said in verse number 29, Hey, I want to tell you, I met a guy. It's the Christ. It's Jesus Christ. And in verse number 30 it says, Then they went out of the city and came unto them. And the people said this. They said, This lady, she was a city whore. She got born again. She came to town. You can tell there's something different about her. Hey, they say he's out there by the well. Let's get out there and see what's going on. What happened? God spared somebody that was living in filthy sexual perversion. And God spared him. And God said, Lady, I did not save you just for you. I saved you for me. I spared you to use you. Now you go to town. You tell everybody you're born again. Tell everybody you got saved. Tell everybody you're changed. And go get me a crowd of people and get them in here. She ran into town. She said, You're not going to believe it. I got born again. I'm clean. It's the Christ. He saved me. I'm born again. The people said, There's something different about that lady. We better go see what happened to her. God spared you to use you. Listen. Listen carefully. Take this personally. You slept with someone you're not married to. You did not get them pregnant. Your self-worth was not destroyed. You were not embarrassed publicly. You didn't get pregnant, man. Think what would have happened if you would have got pregnant at that time. Think of what God spared you from. I'm telling you to go back in your mind and face something. God spared you. Some of you remember the fear? Am I pregnant? I hope not. God spared you to use you. Why don't you have AIDS? You say, well, I'm not a sodomite. It's not just sodomites that get AIDS. All you got to do is sleep with somebody that slept with somebody that slept with somebody that was a sodomite that had AIDS. Why are you not dead? Why do you not have HIV today? I'll tell you why. God spared you to use you. You say, whew, I'm glad time of the month has come and gone and we're okay. You better listen to me. God spared you to use you and for you to do anything less than to give Him your life. You are misusing the God that pulled you up out of a pit. He said, you have many husbands. Some of you said, but Owens, I've not had the kind of life that I wish I had. And I've got a lot of rocky things in my background. And I've been divorced and remarried and divorced and remarried. Let me tell you something. If God has spared you and put you in a church and given you an opportunity to serve Him, you better stop and realize why He spared you. He spared you. Do you realize how many people that have had your background that ended up going out and just ruining the rest of their life? Look, you got a chance, but He spared you to use you. How many of you were caught up in some sort of sexual perversion? But God spared you to use you. God spared you from prison or possible some rape situation or even death. Why? He spared you to use you. Just think, some of you, I want you to stop and think of the evil person you could have married. Because when you're out partying and doing your own thing and living wild and you're drunk and you're high and all you cared about was a sexual tingle. The woman you picked up at a bar, the man that you let pick you up at some bar, some party, and you could have ended up in a mess and married to somebody that hated God and lived with them for the rest of your life. But some of you say, God spared me. It never happened that way, brother. Thank God He did not spared you for you. He spared you for Him. Oh, you get the benefit of being spared, but God spared you to use you. Some of you right now, this is hard on you. Because you don't want God in your life. You don't want to face the fact that there is a God and He created you and He wants into your life. You'd rather live your life living in your own little world. Let's ignore Him. Oh, we'll put some Christmas decorations up. You're not a Christian because you put Christmas decorations up. You're a Christian because you live like Jesus Christ 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. He spared you. Your morality or immorality, He spared you to use you. You committed adultery, but God spared you from total destruction. Why? He spared you to use you. Your youth was full of fornication and filth and wild living. He spared you to use you. Not only that, God spared your life to use your life. You look at the story of a man by the name of Lazarus. He was dead and in the grave. Bible says in John 11:14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And what happens next? There's a man dead and he's in the grave. Jesus shows up 3 days later. The Bible says that when Jesus showed up, it says, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And that was, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Let me tell you something. There's some of you, you're alive today for one reason. God spared you to use you. God brought Lazarus back from the dead. God spared him to use him. They predicted your death, but you lived, didn't you? Hey, military man that was stuck in a foxhole and everybody around you was bleeding and they had bullets in their heads and they were dead and they were gone. Let me tell you something, sir. God did not bring you back from World War II or Vietnam or from overseas. He did not bring you back just so you could have an easy life. God spared you to use you. And some of you, while you were in a foxhole, you begged Him to spare you. He said, oh God, I don't want to die. Please don't let me die. How many times, my friend, that you feared death and thought it was really going to come and you cried out to your God and said, God, spare me, I'll serve you. But you forgot. He did His part. You begged God to spare your child. You said, God, I'll give my son to you. I'll give my daughter to you. Spare their life. I'll give my husband to you. I'll give my family to you. Just spare a life. And He did, but you didn't. That same God is alive. He's alive and well and still waiting for you to do your part. Think. What you won't like about this sermon is it's real. Almost overwhelming for a television-winged crowd. God spared you to use you. Could have gone under financially. Total devastation. What'd God do? Spared you to use you. God spared your health to use you. Peter's mother-in-law was sick, the Bible says, Matthew 8:14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. She was dying. The Catholics need to know. Peter had a mother-in-law. It means Peter had a wife. Couldn't be the Pope. And God knows no man would have a mother-in-law without having a wife. That'd be stupid. Peter's mother-in-law was dying, and the Bible says, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. You know what happened? She was dying. God said, I'll spare you. She got up from the deathbed, and she started doing something for God immediately. She ministered unto them. God did not spare her so she could just say, I'm a Christian. No, God spared her to use her. Hey, has God saved your physical life? So you know, there's a difference in having your physical life saved and being spiritually born again. I was in a car accident and I asked God to save me from death. That's the physical saving of the life. There's a difference in you being saved spiritually or being born again. But this lady, she was dying physically. She was dying and God spared her to use her. Think about it now. You were in a car wreck. Think. You were in a car wreck. You could have been killed. How many times did you say, whew, oh my, we could have been killed.
You thought that was a coincidence? You thought it was a coincidence? God intervened and spared your life. Why? To use you. You almost drowned, but God spared you to use you. You were shot, but you lived. God spared you to use you. You had a heart attack. While millions had died from the same thing, you lived. Why? God spared you to use you. You could have bled to death, but God spared you to use you. You had a stroke, but God spared you to use you. You went to surgery. Many die, but God spared you to use you. You choked. You could have choked to death, but God spared you to use you. You were in an accident at work, but God spared you to use you. Think about it. He spared you to use you. As I drove into a parking lot, I noticed that a pickup truck with a dog sitting behind the wheel was rolling toward a blonde female pedestrian. She seemed oblivious, so I hit my horn to get her attention. She looked up just in time to jump out of the way of the truck's path, and the vehicle bumped harmlessly into the curb and stopped. I rushed over to the blonde lady, and I said, "Ma'am, are you all right?" She said, "I'm fine." She said, "I hate to think what would have happened had that dog not had the sense to honk at me while he was driving." If you're blonde, God spared you to use you. There are other innocent kindergartners that need your advice. Hey, some of you, God spared you as a child to use you. If we took the time, I could read you the story of Moses when he was just a wee little boy. He was afraid that his mama was afraid that he was going to be put to death, and mama put Moses in a basket and sent him up a river, and Pharaoh's daughter found him and spared him. Why? I can tell you why. Because God had a plan for a little 2-year-old boy that had been put in a basket. They sent him down the river. God had someone come along and say, "Look in that basket, there's a child." They pulled it out and spared the life of Moses, and God began to build him and build him and build him. And one day a mighty leader by the name of Moses rose up against Pharaoh. And he said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "Who's going to make me?" And Moses said, "Me and God are going to take care of this thing." And Moses led millions of people out of captivity. But God spared him as a child to use him. Were you a preemie, born premature? But you made it. Did God spare your child? God spared them to use them. Girls, why weren't you aborted? 4,000 a day are murdered. Why are you boys alive? Why'd you make it? Why aren't you dead? Why aren't you in a pile of flesh at some abortion clinic? Why are all these teenagers here alive? Tell you why. God spared them to use them. As a child, your parents almost lost you to death. God spared you to use you. Our son Joshua, who sits here, a fine, dignified assistant pastor, he was born. We almost lost him. 2 weeks in the hospital, intensive care. Kept going down and going down, and we feared we were going to lose our child. I remember, honey, I remember saying, "God, please, spare him. We'll raise him right. We'll do our best. If you want to use him, he's yours." Son, don't forget, God spared you to use you. You called your baby a miracle baby. Your parents called you a miracle baby. Miracle, you're alive. God spared you to use you. Why are you not in jail? Why are you not rotting in prison? God spared you to use you.
Acts chapter 12, verse 3, 4, and 7, you can find the story of Peter. Peter had been put in jail. Though he didn't been put in jail for something good. He could have spent a long time there. I know people who have. John Bunyan was in jail for, I think, 12 years for doing right. But God spared Bunyan, and God spared Peter, and God got him out of jail. Why? God spared him to use him. Let me ask you a question. Why are you not in jail for the drugs that you have dealt with? Whether you're taking them, smoking them, drinking them, inserting them, or whatever you do with them. Why are you not in prison right now? And there are people in this room, you deserve prison, and you know it. Why are you not in prison? I'll tell you why. If you're man enough to face it, God spares you to use you. You know, you're not to drink and drive. Why are you not in prison right now? Why didn't you kill someone and get charged with manslaughter, first-degree murder? I'll tell you why God spared you to use you. You should beat your wife. You could have gone to jail for domestic abuse. Why are you not in jail? God spared you to use you. Your public intoxication. Your misuse of a firearm. Your stealing. Assaulting an officer. Contempt of court. Whatever it is. What is it? Why aren't you in jail? God spared you to use you. You tried to commit suicide. Like the Philippian jailer did in Acts chapter 16. All of a sudden the Philippian jailer takes out a knife. He gets ready to stab himself. And Paul says, stop. Don't harm yourself. We're right here. You don't have to harm yourself. The jailer was going to kill himself because he felt like if his prisoners got loose, that he would be put to death. He went to stab himself and kill himself. You want to know what happened? Paul said, stop. The next thing you know, the flipping jailer gets saved. God spared him. And you know the rest of the story. He said, hey, come on down to my house. I want you to get my family saved. God started using him immediately. The reason you're not dead today is because God spared you. How many people in this room have thought, I'll kill myself. I'll end it. I'll do away with myself. God spared you to use you. You tried and you failed, but God spared you to use you. He took a .38 special out of the hand of a woman that was going to blow her brains out. I had to talk the gun out of her hand. God spared her to use her. Taking razor blades away from more than one person that had slit their wrists or attempted to slit their wrists in many different cases. God spared them to use them. Misuse of drugs or pills, God spared you to use you. Here's my question, though, and I'm real close to being done. Are you fulfilling the purpose for which you were spared? I'm living it up. You go to church. Are you holy? Doing all you can for the one that spared you? Let me ask you this. Should he spare you next time? When you drive out here and you hit 81, should he spare you every car you pass? Wonder if tomorrow's the deadline. He says, you know what, I spared you, but obviously you have no interest in me. Are you fighting against the one who spared your life? How hard does God have to work? He keeps sparing you and sparing you and sparing you. You screw up your life over and over and over again, brush with death after brush with death, possible jail, possible disease. How does God spare you? So why does he keep sparing me? He loves you and wants to use you. Don't become an enemy of your hero, the one who spared you. You know, God spared Jesus for a reason. There's a story in the Bible where they were going to try to kill, Herod was going to try to kill all the children that Herod thought was the age of baby Jesus. Had all the children, 2 years of age, slaughtered. And God spared Jesus. Why? Because by sparing Jesus, he was able to become your Savior. And boy, let me tell you something. There are people in this building today. If you die today, you're not saved. You're not born again. You've played religion all your life, but you're not born again. You're not saved. Why has God kept you alive? I can tell you why.
He kept you alive long enough to get you to a service just like this. He spared you because he wanted to save you. If you're unsaved and you're in that balcony on this lower floor, a visitor today, and you're not born again, there is only one reason you are alive today. One. And it's not to make money. It's not to buy a big house. It's not to get a retirement. You are alive today because of the mercy of an almighty God. He kept you alive to save your soul. That's why you're alive today. He spared you to save you. Don't reject him. Get saved. If you're saved, don't reject the purpose for him sparing you. He spared us to use us. I was in a pit. It's dark. On my way to hell. But he put me on a rock. He established my goings. Everybody saw it. He spared me to use me. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.